The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We are fast approaching the beginning of a new yearly cycle of months and holy day seasons. God set a natural cycle in motion thousands of years ago during the creation week. On the fourth day of creation, God set the moon and the sun in place for signs, for seasons, for days, and years. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And brethren, as we enter into this Passover season, this first of three holy day seasons that God has ordained, we need to be aware of what He expects of each one of us. Soon, in a very solemn ceremony, we will eat and drink tokens of the sacrifice that God designed Himself. It is, without any doubt, it is the most worthy and most costly of all sacrifices ever made. Because when we realize, then we see that it is the payment for the sins of all mankind collectively. And yes, without a doubt, we truly thank our great God that it is also payment for our sins individually. When we compare it to the vast number of beings that God has already granted human life, there is only a relatively small number of us who are privileged today to be able to symbolically partake of the broken body and the precious blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I think that we should be absolutely overwhelmed that of all the billions and billions of people, there are so few have ever, and today, who really do understand what this is really all about. And therefore, I think that it is only fitting that we should approach the Passover with great sincerity and humility in our hearts, and it is also fitting that we reaffirm our commitment to God with a pre-Passover examination of ourselves, so that we will take the Passover in a worthy manner and that we will remember the Lord's death until He comes. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and begin in verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," or in an irreverent manner. In other words, you may do it, you may go there and you may take it, you may drink and you may eat, but you do it in a careless attitude, not really having processed, not really having thought about seriously what's going on. This is what he's talking about. "In an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily," with this attitude that I've already mentioned here, "not discerning the Lord's body, is drinking and eating damnation to himself." Verse 30. Now I rearranged the wording in that verse, but that's what it says. In verse 30, "For this cause," because of that, because that there are some who are not doing it in a right attitude, "because of this, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So is it important how we partake of the Passover? Absolutely. Taking it, yes. That's not even the question whether we are or are not to take it. It's the attitude in which we take it. And sometimes people get in this attitude and say, "Well, I know I'm not worthy to take it because I've sinned." What do you think the Passover is about? Of course we've all sinned. Of course we're none worthy in the sense. That's not the issue here. That's not what we're doing here. Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, We are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Brethren, please also understand that this priceless investment that God has made in his plan for saving all of mankind, even though all of mankind yet doesn't understand that, that awesome investment clearly demonstrates his goodwill toward us. He also wants to make us his divine children. He also wants us to approach him boldly. He wants us to have a personal, close relationship with him, calling him Abba, Father, Daddy, or whatever really intimate term that we could have. He also wants us to submit to his teachings and his corrections as beloved sons. So let us respond to God's great mercy. Let each one of us heed his admonitions to examine ourselves and then to eat and drink with humility and thankfulness and joy. Let us throw off the darkness of self-doubt. Throw off the darkness of self-pity. Throw off the darkness of self-absorption. And throw off the darkness of any kind of vain or evil choices that we would make. Instead, let us move toward the source of all light, and then we use that light to search our ways. Let's go to Lamentations for one verse, Lamentations 3 and verse 40, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. It says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." So we are to search our ways. We are to examine ourselves. And then if we find that we're not square on in any of the ways, then we turn again to the Lord. And we see and we know and we understand that this light of God's Word will show us who we really are. And it will really show us what we have to change. You see, God will provide the strength to please him when Jesus Christ lives within us. Through the Apostle Paul, God directs us to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" He says, do you know that? And so an obvious question we need to ask here is, am I a reprobate? And if we conclude that, no, we're not reprobate. Do we make mistakes? Do we fall short, you know, of every moment of all the time of the glory of God? Of course we do. But are we reprobates? And if we conclude that we're not reprobates, then we obviously, examining ourselves, can come to the conclusion that we are in the faith. So what does this passage say that we are to be looking for in ourselves? Well, of course, what it is saying is we are to see Jesus Christ in us. We are to see Jesus Christ is in us. And we're admonished to prove whether we are in the faith. And in this passage, it is clear that being in the faith is synonymous with Jesus Christ being in a believer. Brethren, the life of our Lord and our Savior dwelling in us begins at our baptism and the receiving of the laying on of hands and receiving the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:26. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 2 and verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so obviously then what we see is we began the examination by looking into our thoughts and feelings. We began it by looking into our minds and our hearts. There are many of us who have attended God's church now for many years. And I think each one of us who have been around for a long time, we are aware of the deceitfulness of our hearts. Jeremiah 17:9, you can probably quote it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the answer is God. You know, he knows. He knows. In the writings of James, James warns us that we can easily fall into the trap of self-deception. So let's go to James chapter 1 and let's see this. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so we examine ourselves and we look, is this what I do? Am I a hearer of the word, but I'm not really a doer of the word? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and he goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. In other words, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you go, oh, okay. And you walk away, and then you forget what you really look like. So that's like a person who says that he's a doer, but he's really not. He just hears the words. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, or doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And some translations shall be blessed in his doing. Not hearing only, but doing. And brother, when we read the word of God, when we read the word of God, do we act on it? Do we respond to it? Because, brethren, if we do not respond to the Word of God, once we've read that Word of God, we do not act on it, our religion is useless. In other words, we are living in self-deceit. James 1 and verse 26 tells us that. If any man among you seem to be religious, but bridles not his tongue. This is the example that he's using. He's a hearer, but he's not a doer. This is what this is telling us. Has deceived his own heart. This man's religion is vain. It's useless. As a human, I think it's obvious that we often deceive ourselves because we want to hold on to something that God needs for us to give up. In other words, what we're doing is we are valuing the pleasure of something that's unrighteous or some unrighteousness more than we love God's truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read verse 10, beginning in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And the lie here is we've self-deceived. The person has self-deceived themselves into thinking that they're doing everything they're supposed to be. They think they're doing what is right. They think that they're a true believer. In reality, their life is a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And brethren, please do not make any mistakes. It is so obvious in the scriptures that God does not want us to be condemned. When our Savior lives within us by faith, our hearts will not condemn us. Do I need to make that statement again? When our Savior lives within us by faith, our hearts will not condemn us. When Jesus Christ lives within us, we will be led to keep our heart clean. Our Savior pleased the Lord when He walked upon the earth. And brethren, please also understand that as true as that is, He also will seek to please the Father when He lives within us day by day. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Is this implying that we know we're never doing anything wrong? That's not what this is implying at all. This is not what this is referring to. It's when we know that our heart is clean, that because we're trying to please God, because Jesus Christ is living within us. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, with these things that we've just read, let me read for you a few of the requests and some statements that some of God's servants have prayed about having an examination or about being examined. You can turn with me because I'm going to tell you the verses. You can go with me, but I'm going to do them fairly quickly. The first one I want to see is in Psalm 77 and verse 6. Psalm 77, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Now, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, what do? Do you just toss and turn, or do you go, what a blessing, I have time that I can praise my great God? Well, how do you spend that time? Makes a difference. It makes a difference. Psalm 26 and verse 2. Psalm 26 verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Psalm 130 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 130 verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the correct way. If there be any wickedness within me. And of course, once God shows us what we need to change, we are then to turn to God. Psalm 119 and verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. Through the repentant prayer of David, God demonstrates the correct attitude and the correct approach that we need to have when we find sins in our lives. And we can go to this prayer of David and we can look at ourselves like David did. And so we're going to go there. We're going to read this in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This is the prayer that David prayed in connection with the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Whatever judgment, however you deal with it, you're right. Whatever you do, you are right. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, within my mind and within my heart, within my being. You desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then, as a result of this, because you have cleansed me, you've done these things, verse 13, then will I teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, you God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Do you ever just sing to God at night? Maybe you don't sing out loud, because if you've got a mate, that wouldn't be really nice for them necessarily, if they're asleep and you're awake. But if you ever just sing out, you know, just sing in your heart, you know, in your mind's eye, you know, to God, you know, just praising him and blessing him. Verse 15, O Lord, open you my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you shall desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. You desire not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. Build you the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall you be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon your altar. Is that our attitude? Is that our approach towards sins as we approach our God, as we self-examine self? During this examination, we need to take a look at our motives. We need to take a look at our actions. We need to look at our intentions. We need to take a look at our expectations. We need to take a look at our fears, and we need to take a look at our desires. We need to understand fully what we trust in. So here, let me ask ourselves, are we holy? Are we clean? Are we pure? Are we growing, or are we stagnating? Are we completely committed to God and to His way of life? And do our actions agree with the way we describe ourselves? Does our actions agree with our words? Please keep in mind that all humans have certain tendencies, like letting things slip. Yes, there is a real and a present possibility that any person can drift. That's because we're human. We understand that. This is a good time of year to discover if we have drifted a bit. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Have we let anything slip during this past year? Now's the time to take a look at it. If we have, this is where it needs to be reattached. And if slipping or drifting is not dangerous enough, the Apostle Paul also warns true believers about developing an evil heart of unbelief. He warns against become hardened through the deceivableness of sin. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceivableness of sin. Can it happen to me? We also know that none of us is without some sin. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so we understand. We understand. Brethren, I also want us to clearly understand something here. I am not advocating a negative frame of mind. You see, this very serious examination needs to be extremely careful and it needs to be completely positive. You see, we have Jesus Christ in us. Therefore, it is to be positive. We serve an awesome God. We are to respond to Him in reality of who He really is. Who is this great being that we're worshiping, that we're giving our lives over to? Brethren, we know that He is a very generous and loving Father. And brethren, please also understand that doubting His love for us and His commitments to us is a tragic, tragic sin. Hebrews 3 and verse 2. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do not depart from the living God in any shape or form. Do not do that. And doubting for any moment at all His love and His commitment to us is just that. Don't let that happen. Brethren, please also make no mistake about it. We can stand before God knowing that we are true believers. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We can stand before God knowing that we are true believers. Let me hear lists some very quick points without going through verses here, but I just have them in my notes. In my notes, where I have them is just bullets. Just have a statement, then a statement, then a statement. God called us to peace with Him. He justifies us. He grants us a place of grace and the hope of the glory of God. Now, we could give entire sermonettes or maybe even sermons on any one of these points, and I understand that. I'm just listing them out. God provides the faith and everything else we need for salvation. God gives us power to become His sons. God wrote and preserve the Bible for us so that we might know Him and know His plan. And I have one more in this context, and that is God knows what he is doing. The Bible says so. And I guess a good question here that we need to ask is, do we, put your name there, do I truly believe what the Bible says? We find in Scripture several lists of things here and there, but I'm referring to this particular moment. I'm referring to a list of some godly characteristics in two places. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to encourage you to go there in your self-examination because we know these things. But the first one is in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. This is where we find the fruit of the Spirit. And the second place of these godly characteristics is in 1 Corinthians 13. We refer to that as the love chapter. And they both have great lists. And we can take a look at it. And so I encourage all of us to take a look at them in our Passover preparation. And as we prepare for Passover, let us look at each one of these characteristics. And as we do, asking ourselves, how do I measure up to each one of these? And again, please to keep in mind, this is not to be a negative, you know, frame of mind thinking. This is to be positive. I also have, as I tend to do when I don't have all the time in the world to give a whole lot of information, so I give you a lot of information at once by listing points, and then you go and you look them up and you find them out. So I have here a few additional thought-provoking questions to ponder. And we need to each one ask ourselves, what do we truly value? Do we work to please ourselves, or do we work for the approval of other people, or do we work for the praise of God? Another thought-provoking question is just how important is Jesus in our lives? Another one, do we really have this close, trusting relationship with both Father and Son? Is God the center of our minds, or is He off to the side? How diligently do we pursue God? And is this pursuing of God, this is another point, is it weekly? Is it daily? Is it hourly? Or is our pursuit of God in every moment? Then, after we have made a diligent search of ourselves, let each one of us follow the example that our Lord and Savior left for the church. Paul describes this for us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, brethren, the Passover is not very far away, and we do need to be preparing ourselves now. This experience of examining itself, as I have said two or three times in this sermon, it is to be a positive experience. We have Jesus Christ in us. We are the children of God. Don't let some other voices tell you this is to be a beat yourself down, beat yourself down, beat yourself down, because all of us could do that. But that's not what this is about. This is so that we will examine ourselves and come to the place that we truly know that we are in the faith because we have proven our own selves. So let's prepare for the Passover. And the Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed as the people of God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.